Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. John 4:23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. We're continuing in Jonah here. We got to Jonah chapter 4, and we just finished Jonah chapter 3, and we read about a wonderful thing that happened there in Nineveh. They repented. That's right. There was national repentance in Nineveh, and I look forward to meeting some of those, the remnant that was saved there. So that's truly all it takes is a remnant to save a nation, that the king called for a day of fasting and prayer, and they turned away the wrath of the Almighty. And it says, and God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. All the Heavenly Father needs is an opportunity to turn wrath away. And he wants to turn his wrath away from every one of us. So he gives us a choice. Can we repent? Can we find a place in his kingdom? You know, there's a lot of people want to go to heaven when they die, but they won't like it there if they could go, because they hate God's law. What law do you think is going to rule heaven? Your own law? Or the law of the imaginary God, the image you've made up in your own mind? You know, the God that just wants you to be happy? That's an image. And I believe that most people who even call themselves Christians have a false image of God that they've made up. A God that wants them to be happy. It's paramount. Why would God have made me if he didn't want me to be happy? Therefore, I don't have to keep God's law, because that would make me unhappy. So when the preacher says it's nailed to the cross, oh yeah. Yeah, buddy, I'm telling you, God wants me to be happy. He nailed the law to the cross just for me. Now I can do whatever I want because God wants me to be happy and I'm a good man. And they tell themselves all kinds of lies while they worship an image of God that exists only in their own minds. How sad. How sad it will be when all the scales fall off in the day of judgment and they won't have a word to say. They'll be at a loss for words. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. What is wrong with Jonah? And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. I knew this, that's why I didn't want to go. I don't know. Seems like Jonah has a little sickness in his own heart, doesn't he? Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Man, I don't get it. I certainly don't understand Jonah. Well, let's see if we can find a little more understanding here. Then said Yahuwah, dost thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth, and sat under it in the shadow, till he might see what would become of the city. Okay. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd, that it withered. And it came to pass, when the sun did arise, that God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat down upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and wished in himself to die, and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, "Dost thou well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then said the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night, and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000, 60,000, 120,000 people, more than that, more than 120,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left, and also much cattle." And that's the end of Jonah. You know, Jonah, perhaps he was looking forward. You know, he got the game plan, and he didn't want to go because he was afraid they might repent. Then he ended up going anyway, and he preached to them, and they repented, and he gets angry. Oh, Jonah needs a little attitude adjustment there. What is the moral of the story? Well, I don't think I need to tell you what the moral of the story is. I think to have a heart after the Heavenly Father, that would be the moral of the story. To be full of mercy, to bid everyone, like his son, everyone, to enter into his kingdom. I believe that the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, however you want to put it, it's a mystery. It's a mystery to those that are without. They don't understand it at all. And you can't understand it till you come in, till you enter into that kingdom. The Messiah put it another way. He said, you must be born again, because it's a spiritual kingdom. Flesh and blood cannot inherit it. Was that Jonah's problem? Was that Israel's problem? The Hebrew nation, was that their problem? Yeah, they had a big problem. They were looking on the flesh. They weren't looking in the spirit. They weren't even looking at their own history. They weren't even seeing how, in their own writings, how the Heavenly Father allowed for people to come and join his nation, to become part of Jacob, the Hebrew nation, to be grafted in for one cause, only one cause, faith. That was the only cause for someone to become from the outside of Jacob, from outside of Israel, to come in and be part of that nation was faith. That was it. You see that the children of Israel, there was a time when they took heathen wives. And the Heavenly Father said, not good enough, it's all in the flesh. And he commanded them to divorce those heathen wives and to separate themselves from them because they were being polluted thereby. What was the problem? Those heathen wives were bringing in idolatry. They weren't joining the faith. They were corrupting the nation. Faith. We have the story of the kinsman redeemer. You can read all about it. Jericho, who helped the Hebrew, those Hebrew spies. And she got grafted into the, it wasn't Tamar. I forget her name. But you know who I'm talking about. From Jericho, the woman that helped the Hebrew spies, got grafted into the nation by her faith, got included in the seed line of the Messiah. How much more? Jonah, a good lesson there for us not to seek judgment upon other nations. And the lesson from our prior book there, Obadiah, to not delight in the destruction of others, of our enemies even, those that hate us. You know, I had people plotting my destruction. I had to take no delight. And there's a no-win situation. You know, how do you win against someone who's trying to destroy you? It's a lose situation for everybody. Everybody loses. I can rejoice that, you know, it's over when it's over, if it is ever over. Sometimes these things seem like they just go on and on and on. And I guess if one person repents or somehow is destroyed by their own hand. Like I said, when they hate themselves. When they're trying to destroy me, they're bringing destruction upon themselves. When you just try to destroy the man of God, you're only bringing destruction upon yourself. And it doesn't matter. Many succeed in putting good men of God in prison and in jail and bringing false accusations against them and making their lives miserable and causing them to suffer great loss. It works a lot. The enemies of God's people, a lot of times that comes. But it's only temporary. Because, see, we have a hope that goes beyond the grave, that goes beyond the memories of our loved ones, and certainly goes beyond dirt. Something that will never trade our integrity, our faith, for anything. We'll never trade that for anything. We'll even suffer death rather than give up that eternal hope. That's why there have been martyrs in history, and that's why there will be martyrs in the future until the Messiah comes. Because forever is a very, very long time. And no matter what we suffer in this life, the Messiah said, "Fear not them that kill the body." So we're not to fear death. We're not to fear anything less than death. Most people capitulate for things less than death. They might lose their job, or the policeman might get mad at them at the side of the road, or take their car, or put them in jail even. Or they might suffer the loss of money or their job, or even their family. But he said, Messiah, you know, he said some pretty hard things. He said, whoever loves their mother or their father, their wife or their children, more than me is not worthy of me. Wow, so we're not even to put our family and our children. There's a lot of people will sign up for the mark of the beast, or they'll continue. They'll transition right into it. That's right. They'll transition right into the mark of the beast knowingly, going, God understands. I have to feed my family. My children can't go without. God understands. See, that's the image, the false image of God that they have. But he said, fear not them to kill the body, but are not able to, but fear him who will cast both body and soul into hell. See, that's all they can do. You know, some people say there are things worse than death, but I believe the Heavenly Father, by His Holy Spirit, will sustain us through anything. I see evidence of that in the Scripture, and I believe it. And it doesn't matter what I have to endure. I will endure it, and I will endure till the end and be saved. That's what it takes, because that's what eternity is worth. Well, we're done with Jonah, and we don't really have enough time to jump into the next minor prophet Micah, so we're going to do that next time on Cross the Border. Let's see, there's 7 chapters of Micah. So anyway, perhaps I'll just take the last few minutes to talk to you and ask you to visit my website, crosstheborder.org. Perhaps you haven't seen the video, The Greatest Prophecy. You can get it for nothing. All you have to do is write me. You can find the address there. And I know if you go to the website at firstamendmentradio.com or the purchase page, it asks for a certain amount of money. But it doesn't matter. It's suggested donation. Some pages say $5. Some say $20. But it doesn't matter. Just you find the address there. If you have nothing, just write a note, you know, explaining that. And then, you know, get copies, make copies and give them away if you can, if you're going to do that. That's another way that you can, you know, help support the work and be a partaker in the labor that we have here, besides giving your money and your time, spreading the word around on the social networks that are on the internet there. Crosstheborder.org. What else do we have to talk about? Well, I'm kind of running out of things to say. And I guess that's what I can say is Wednesdays. So we're doing a live broadcast on Wednesdays where we open up the phone lines and we look at what has been in the news for the week, and we discuss those things, and I'd like a little more input. I've had some input, but last week, nobody called in, and I had one taker in the chat room, so that's kind of, I was hoping for a little bit more on Wednesday, so if you're listening to this at some other time, and you can show up on Wednesday morning on the Pacific Coast between 9 and 11 a.m., you can join us there live in the chat room, on the phone, you can call in, or if you think you know someone, an interesting guest who would fit in well with what we're doing here on Cross the Border, or even, what do you call it, what do you call them? Sometimes I just lose those words. But anyway, suggested guests, or perhaps you might put someone, give someone my email address and ask them to have me on as a guest. We can discuss anything from what month is it, to what year is it, to the Vatican moves on the Temple Mount, to the coming Mark of the Beast, the global Great Depression, many things, or the Greatest Prophecy DVD, or even the Greatest Prophecy. I could spend 2 hours talking about the Greatest Prophecy alone. So I would, anyone who would want to have me on their radio program for interviews, there are plenty of topics. You can pick anything on the website. I promise that I will have plenty to say. No shortage of things to say on an interview. Just to spread the word and about what's coming. What year is it? Very interesting. I'm surprised that no one's challenged it yet, and I'm still looking for some challenges there because, you know, and I've been challenged a few times or had a few points where I've had to revise my what year is it study. So I thank the few people that took the time to go through it and point out a few things there and had to make some small adjustments to the chronology, the clear chronology. And it is clear, you know, it is crystal clear in his word. The Heavenly Father hid a chronology in the scripture that goes from creation to today and tells us when the seventh millennia begins, which I believe will be the Sabbath millennia. Well, seven means Sabbath, so yeah, it'll be the Sabbath millennia. And that is going to start about 60 years from now, making the year 2012 and the Pope's Gregorian calendar. You know, whoever rules, whoever's in charge is in charge of the calendar. So we know who's in charge of the earth right now, who rules in the earth, because we're using their calendar. It's the Pope's Gregorian, the Vatican's Gregorian calendar, but it's Pope Gregory was the one, but it's the Vatican's Gregorian calendar. It's the Vatican year 2012, the common era, but it is also the year 5940 from creation. Go to my website, crosstheborder.org, and look for that study there and go through it line by line. You know, all of you people that are, you know, somewhat, you know, biblical scholars know how to use an e-sword or at least open up your Bible and go through it verse by verse and check it out and get out your calculator and add it up and see what you come up with. And I think you're going to have to come into an agreement with me if you're really honestly do that the year is 5940 from creation, plus or minus a year, because his years aren't the same. His years begin in the spring, where the Pope's Gregorian, the Vatican's Gregorian calendar begins in January. So the mesh there is off a little bit. So 5940, check it out. See what you think. Read the comments there. Many people have had some very interesting things to say. If you want to leave a comment, please try to leave the comments on the appropriate page so everyone can be edified and I don't have to delete them. Like I said, someone leave comments about the red moon. Okay, there's something about a red moon out there. I've heard something about the blue moon too, but that has nothing to do with my calendation, my what year is it study. You know, perhaps leave those on my contact page or other appropriate page there. Crosstheborder.org. Spread it around, please. And please support this radio network and crosstheborder.org.